Good evening, workshoppers. Here we are, our last episode before BlizzCon. So, as you might expect, we've got some speculation and some hype to address. And it's just gonna be me again this week. It's another solo nine ball episode. Leviathan's schedule has prevented him from going through and hopping in with this week's episode. He's trying to go through and cram in so much before BlizzCon that it is making his schedule and his life not too easy at the moment. But don't worry, don't worry. I'm still here. I'm still here. The show must go on, as they say in show business. But yes, here we are. Welcome to Westmarch Workshop, episode 103, BlizzCon speculation hype, because that seems to be what everyone's been talking about lately. I guess in between our last episode and this week, I did do like a solo show on my own personal channel, just because there was so much going on and so much talk and chatter within the community. I felt there's a lot of things that I just needed to get off my chest and express and talk about. So if you watched that show last week that was on my own personal channel, the twitch.tv/9ball, some of the things I'm going to be talking about this week might be a little bit redundant. As I was talking on episode 102, that I wouldn't be surprised then if we had gotten our BlizzCon schedule, and lo and behold, a couple days later we did. And I'll be talking about that again here tonight, just in case you haven't seen it yet or know what's on the table for Diablo at BlizzCon. And then just generally addressing a lot of the concerns, thoughts, theories, and stuff like that that's going on with BlizzCon in the Diablo community. So we're just gonna kind of like jump right into it. There's not too much big official stuff to go and talk about at the moment. Of course, we did have Season 8 go live. I guess that is somewhat of a big announcement. Leviathan did a little bit of a stream. I did a little bit of a stream. Our schedules didn't sync up. He started late. I started like really late. We both have gotten to 70, but we didn't do our all-night stream. I know Leviathan had to stop by like around like 11 and only got to level 55. I didn't start until almost midnight, and then I ended up going straight till 70. It was a little after 3, so I got there in just under 4 hours and then passed out. And I played a little bit of Diablo over the weekend. I played a little bit of World of Warcraft because I had some guildies that wanted to try and get prepared for Karazhan that came out in patch 7.1 that just released on Tuesday. And then last night I wanted to stream a little bit, so I put up a poll on my Twitter, and apparently more people wanted me to watch me run heroics or run mythics to try and unlock Karazhan than they did want me to stream Season 8. And since I am a man of the people, I went and streamed my mythics and Karazhan. Miss Cheetah and a couple other people were there, going and hanging out. We had some fun listening to some Juno Reactor and other interesting weird music. So we had some fun going through and doing that. Haven't gotten too far into Season 8 myself. I did finish up the first four chapters. I'm almost done with Slayer. I did pick Witch Doctor again because I don't feel I did enough justice with it during Season 7. So I wanted to go through, give it more of a shot. I also picked it because with the Spirit of Arakir, that is the speedrunning set, I never really got that together during Season 7. I just wasn't lucky on getting some of the set pieces. So I felt like now that I will have the speedrunning set a little bit more, it will make running, getting greater rift keys and just doing bounties a lot easier. And that will help put me in the position that I need to, because running like bounties is my least favorite thing in Diablo. And so I figure, well, if I have this, I can do them faster, I can get them out of the way quicker, I can get my cube, everything that I need for my cube, and then I can focus more on the stuff that I enjoy. And well, yeah, I'm hoping that's how that works out for this season, but we'll have to go through and see. I'm going to talk about that a little bit about like BlizzCon speculation, because as we all know and already talked about, season 7 ended early and season 8 started real early than what our expectations would be for it. And what does that mean for season 8? Dun dun dun, to be continued. And with the other big piece of like official news that we got is we have a new Developer Chronicle article. This one is actually written by senior designer Joe Shelley. He's one of the senior game designers on Team 3, where he talked about engaging monsters and how he talks about some of the thought process that goes into how they manage the monsters that make up rifts, and how it might not be fun if everything is just like lacunae or you know, like different, like if it's all like Blood Clan sorcerers or succubus or exorcists, that's not going to be fun. That's going to be really difficult. Imagine with how at higher greater rifts, how much of a pain exorcists are. And then imagine a rift full of nothing but them. They need your zombies or your regular fallen. They need these small, weak, slow enemies to make those stronger ones stand out more and still be something that will make you stop and think. And so they like having that varied diversity within the rifts, and that they have certain patterns or like algorithms that are running in the background to help balance the actual populations of the monsters that go through and make up the rifts. And again, that's on the main Diablo site, so it's something I definitely recommend that you go and check out and read his full thoughts on everything about how they try to make rifts in the monsters themselves more engaging. And one thing I will talk about, as a lot of the times when, you know, Blizzard goes through and tries to have these articles, a lot of people in the community will go through and just, you know, be like really negative about it. Oh, well, monsters aren't engaging. They don't really matter. I don't care what it is that I'm killing. I just go through and kill everything. And I can understand that to a certain extent. Like, if you're just going to go through and run like a Greater Rift 60 or 70, yeah, you're not going to try and dodge blood stars from a succubus. You're not going to really care too much. If you're pushing some of the higher Greater Rifts, especially on hardcore, you're paying attention to everything that's on the screen, because especially with hardcore, you make a mistake, that's it. Not only is your rift over, your game's over. You're going to have to go through and start over from scratch and all of your best gear you just lost. And some of the higher greater rifts, a little bit less so. I can still concede the point, a little bit less so if you're in a group, because you're implying a lot of group buffs in CC, that the damage that the monsters go through and put out to you isn't as important. It's still some things you do have to pay attention to. If you all of a sudden get an elite pack of teleporting exorcists, yeah, you're going to be paying a little bit more attention to, you know, where they are going and how you're positioning your group. Otherwise, you're going to go through and get a wipe. But there are definitely some design aspects that, as a hardcore player, really resonated with me within that article, because there are things that I do stop and have to pay attention to before, you know, I just go willy-nilly through the entire rift, that I can understand if some other players, like people that don't play hardcore, might just completely miss. If you're not going for, I'm just going through, I'm running level 70 or 80 greater rifts and such, I'm not caring about going for the leaderboards in the 90s, I'm just going and progressing at a good easy pace where I don't see that mix or that flow of enemies, maybe it's something worth going through and maybe pushing a little bit higher and trying out, because it does make it for a It does make for a little bit of a fun experience there. Moving on, I guess to get kind of start getting into the meat and the core of the topics here for tonight. As I mentioned, this is our last episode before BlizzCon. Next week is BlizzCon. Steven and I have been talking a little bit about what we want to try and do, maybe do some video content or a live stream or something from BlizzCon itself. You'll just have to wait and see. We'll definitely be doing our updates on Twitter, so worst case scenario, you can always follow us on Twitter, either the show or myself at NineBallGamer or Leviathan at LeviathanD3 to go and check out, what we are going to, try and offer there. But if you're going to be going through and, like, if you have the virtual ticket or if you're at BlizzCon itself, we do have the actual schedule for the events. And we have, quite a few more panels this year than we did the previous year. Because as people might remember, last year we only had the one panel in the Slaughtered Calf Inn to go through, check out, and hang out and talk with the devs. This year there's quite a few more panels. One of the first things that we have is going to be shortly after the opening ceremony, and these are going to be Eastern Standard Times and Pacific Times. So our very first panel is actually going to be in the Community Amphitheater. This is on the third floor of the Convention Center. It will not be streamed, but they're going to have an hour-long session of Diablo 3 Lightning Talks. This is something that we saw interspersed throughout the convention last year in the Slaughtered Calf Inn, where there are these little 15-minute talks from different developers that they would go through and talk about one particular aspect of the game, whether it was talking about items or sound design. We got to get a little bit more of an in-depth look at the decisions that the developers make when they're adding content to the game, or the thought process when they go and create content for the game. So that'll be starting at 1:30 Pacific time, or 3 p.m. Or sorry, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this will not be streamed. So this is something that you're going to have to go through and watch out for. We'll be more than likely doing some live Twitter updates from there. And it took them a couple of months to go and put those lightning talks up on YouTube because they couldn't stream them because of partner considerations with DirecTV and how they're actually able to go through and stream content and such from the convention itself. But they did go back and redo a lot of those lightning talks and repost them to YouTube. So we might see those come up later, but until then, you're not going to be able to watch it from the virtual ticket itself. If you do have the virtual ticket, the first panel you'll be able to see will actually be coming in at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's the Diablo 20th anniversary stream. This one is going to go through and join with the development staff as they go and look back on the last 2 decades of Diablo games. And it also goes through and they're going to share their ideas on what they plan to do to celebrate this 20th anniversary, which we've been talking about for a while. And I think is going to be the core thing for this year's BlizzCon. That's what the big excitement is around BlizzCon for the Diablo community, even though I think that's kind of shifted away within the community. But this is something that I've always talked about. This is going to be what the BlizzCon is for the Diablo. It's going to be the 20th anniversary. What they're going to be doing to celebrating it, maybe some sort of in-game event or the cross-platform events, because we've seen hints that they're going to be doing some Diablo-related stuff in World of Warcraft, and just the general celebration of other things they're going to do. And and shortly after that, as soon as that event ends, it's about 45 minutes long. Shortly after that, outside of the convention center, they're having the 25th anniversary for Blizzard Entertainment itself and the 20th anniversary for Diablo's celebration. And it's outside of the convention center. So if you're in the area, you don't need a BlizzCon ticket. You can go and join in. They're going to have live entertainment. They're going to have some sort of talks or speeches or something like that, food trucks, and a whole bunch of other specialty things. There'll be limited edition run beers from local craft brewers and stuff just for Diablo. A whole bunch of fun activities planned for Friday evening. Going into that Saturday, we then have our couple more panels at 11:15 Pacific or 2:15 Eastern. We have the Diablo Art and Design panel, which we're going to go through and see some of the things of what they go and talk about with the modeling and art in Diablo. I'm sure there's going to be kind of a look back within theme of the anniversary edition or the anniversary that's coming up. There was the art panel that was at Gamescom where we got to see them go through and just do a little quick mock-up of the Dark Wanderer in 3D and talk about how they go and do the design elements and such, how they try to make it look all nice and dark and gothic-y. And after that, we'll have another set of lightning talks, which is going to be at 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern. I don't know if it's going to be a different set of talks with a different set of developers or if it'll be a rehash of the day before. We'll just have to wait and see on that one. And the final panel that we have is the Dev Talk and Q&A, which is going to be at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, where it's going to be a bunch of the senior designers, why it's going to be there and such, where they're going to dig deep into the upcoming patches and features. Because we expect at some point, probably in the 20th anniversary panel beforehand, we're going to get the big announcement, whatever that might be for the Diablo. And now that we kind of have like the schedule out of the way, what is that announcement going to be? What is all the speculation? What is the community hoping and dreaming that is going to be there? If you watch the show, you know Steven and my expectations are patch 2.5. We're going to get a new patch preview and all the content and features that are going to go through and be added in there, probably somewhere around in size of patch 2.4. And that will be like our one big content update for like 2017. And then maybe a couple little number tweak patches after that, interspersed in between the seasons. But that will probably be like our one big content update that we'll see for next year. But of course, if you've been watching or paying attention to the community and everything else that's been going on, you probably have a different expectation or you've heard different speculation. And this is something that's just been running rampant on Reddit and the forums and what have you. And because of everything that's been going on with the unannounced project, the new hiring, the games director position, the tweets from Bill Roper and Dave Brevik being at Blizzard headquarters and all this other types of stuff is throwing the community into a tizzy where everyone's expecting, oh, this is going to be a new expansion. Oh, this is going to be Diablo 4. Oh, this is going to be like, a Diablo 3D turn-based tactical game on mobile. I have no idea. But a lot of the expectations have been all over the place. And I have to say that the evidence, when I sit down and look at it, doesn't really support it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to like go through and come down on anyone or say, oh, you shouldn't speculate. Because thinking about what if is fun. It's like it's cool to go through and try and think, oh, if they make a Diablo 4, what might it look like? What might they add in? What classes am I going to be able to play? Could they turn it into not an MMO, but maybe like a persistent world type thing? There's a lot of there's a lot of fun that can be had with speculating and trying to dream of what the future might be. The difference is when you turn that speculation into expectation, and that the only way that BlizzCon will fulfill your dreams is if you get Diablo 4 announced, is if you get a new expansion. And if that becomes what your expectation of the BlizzCon is, then unfortunately you might be a little bit disappointed. And it's kind of like managing those expectations. And even though it is fun to dream about like that what if, to at least realize there's not a lot of evidence that supports a new expansion being made or Diablo 4 getting announced. And this is, of course, coming in the light within the last few days where you've had, big kind of like gamer celebrity types like Jesse Cox was on Twitter going and talking about that out of all the interviews that he was able to go through and schedule for BlizzCon, he had this feeling that he absolutely had to have an interview for Diablo. It's like, and that comes in the wake of weeks, if not months, of speculation of that there's going to be a new announcement of an expansion or Diablo 4 at this year's BlizzCon. And you even had a Kriparian last night on his stream saying that he had it on good authority from someone that does not work at Blizzard but is within the gaming industry that speculates that Diablo 4 will be announced at BlizzCon. And people are taking that as like the golden truth. And they're going through and talking about, well, Crip, Crip doesn't want to be like that guy. He doesn't want to be the one that's spreading false rumors. And he's giving it on an, out of 1 to 10, his confidence in this rumor is a 9. But it's still going through and saying, someone that doesn't work at Blizzard and is speculating. that they're going to announce Diablo 4. There's not a lot of, meat to that. There's not a lot of evidence because we know that some of the high-level positions, such as concept artists or riggers, virtual VFX artists, lighting artists, they're still looking for a senior UI developer to say that they'll actually have something showable at this year's BlizzCon, when a lot of these people have only been put into place within the last few months, or haven't even been placed at all. It doesn't seem to really support too heavily that whatever it is that they're working on would get announced. But when you also go and you look at like the fact that they are looking for a lot of high level conceptual type jobs, that also makes it seem, well, maybe they're not working on an expansion for D3. We've seen that the Diablo 3 development team has shrunk a little bit with some of their kind of more rock star-ish developers like Don Vu and John Yang being moved to World of Warcraft. That if they're in the process of developing an expansion for a pre-existing game, I don't think that they would be moving talent away from Team 3. But if they're in the very, very early stages of planning out a brand new title like Diablo 4, they don't need like the associate designers and stuff like that. Yet they can move them to another game team where their skills and their talents might be better put to use while they are building rigging for a brand new engine, while they're developing a VFX engine, while they're developing lighting techniques for a brand new engine, or they're developing a UI. And once a lot of that stuff is done, the big thing that I would say to look forward to within the next year or two is when like John and Don come back to T3. That is going to be a really big indicator of they're going to be getting ready to announce something if they haven't announced it, already. So that is just some of my thoughts on like the whole big BlizzCon speculation. That while it is fun to speculate, don't let that become your expectation. That just because you want the new expansion, or you want to Diablo 4, to that override all the evidence that's out there that they're not going to really announce anything at BlizzCon that big. We are still going to get a new content patch, and some of the things that they use in the descriptions of the panels is brand new features. So there's going to be some sort of new features that are going to go through and be added into the game. And Steven and I were talking offline about like some of our expectations of what we wanted to see going into BlizzCon, and I have the write down of Steven's speculation and what he wants to kind of like go through and put on record for what his speculation that we're going to go through and see at BlizzCon. He expects patch 2.5 will be revealed at the D3 panel, at least one new additional feature. But I'm not sure what that might be. No new game announcements. There's going to be some sort of nostalgic video featuring Brevik and Roper for the 20th anniversary. There's going to be his stretch prediction is going to be USB drives given out at the anniversary party that might have Diablo 1 and Diablo 2 on it. So people that if you make it out to the anniversary party, you might get a free copy of the original Diablo in D2. Otherwise, he has no clues what might be in surprise, or if there might be multiple surprises. Patch 2.5 PTR will be available to play at the demo stations, and likely will debut 1 week after BlizzCon, such as what we've seen last year. And that the reason that the Diablo play area at BlizzCon on the floor map is listed as just Diablo and not Diablo 3 is because, like at Gamescom, Diablo 1 and Diablo 2 will be playable at those demo stations there. And that's about his expectations. My expectations are very similar. Again, we're both in agreement. We're going to get patch 2.5 as an announcement with one or two new features. Again, there's not really any evidence to support what those features might be. And it's kind of hard to speculate because I didn't know that I wanted Kunai's Cube. And yet they went through and debuted it. And it's trying to go through and look at the needs of the community or the game and try to figure out what new features they might come out to fill those needs. It's like I'm not quite sure what's there. I think that there might be more of a strive for like a competitive type content besides just the leaderboards. Like seasons are nice in that aspect, but with Paragon grinding and being able to do group content at much higher greater rifts in order to scale up your gyms to push higher greater rifts, there's that competitiveness really comes down to, well, who is able to play more hours and get to a higher Paragon level, and then who has more hours to fish for a higher greater rift that's like a perfect rift in order to get that clear. Maybe this new feature that they're adding in might be some sort of challenge mode, or like kind of like mythic dungeon within like the WoW model. Might be, I'm not sure what form it might take place, but my expectation might be like one of the only things that is kind of missing is something to build that competitiveness back into seasons. And so that's something I'm throwing out there as speculation, and then also adding in little asterisks onto that. I have no supporting evidence to it. It's just when I look at what are some of the things that the game really needs or is lacking, besides PvP, that's gonna be it. And so that's the only thing that I can draw out of a magic hat as far as my idea that they might go through and do. And Miss Cheetah is asking, so you're going with the esports model? Not so much esports. I don't think it's going to be competitive in the ranking of something that could be like sold as a esports scenario or something like that, but more just something that you can use as like a personal competition with other people. So it might be like a capped Paragon with a preset difficulty and level of greater rift, with also like capped legendary gym ranks or something like that. So it might be something that is, you might have a certain, like, just spitballing here, but like you have certain levels of competition, like like a bronze, silver, and gold, and they could be like 65, 85, and 100 greater rifts, but a set layout, set monster spawns, set shrines. And so you know what to go through and gear your character towards, but they'll also have like corresponding set caps on like Paragon levels and stuff like that to try and bring things that you can just grind out over time within a narrower gap. And that will come down to being able to memorize the spawn patterns and the skill to see who might be able to clear those rifts with the fastest times, and having varying levels of greater rift, like base difficulty to them, so that way more people might be able to go through it and compete in it. That's just an idea. Again, like absolutely no evidence or anything like that to back it up. That's just one of the things that I see that might be lacking within the game. And just going from there, again, like what Steven said, I couldn't remember when the PTR itself went live after BlizzCon for the patch 2.4 announcement. I thought it was 2 weeks afterwards, but Steven's saying it was immediately the week afterwards. But that is why I believe season 7 was ended early, and season 8 got its release pushed up so much, is so that way we would be a little ways into season 8, so that way immediately after BlizzCon, 2 weeks down the road or 1 week down the road, they could go through and launch the 2.5 PTR, get 2 months of testing out of it, and at the beginning of the year launch 2.5 with season 9 and the new content and update, and have it jive well. As instead of they would have, though, because if they didn't move up that timetable, they would have season 7 ending like at BlizzCon, season 8 starting after BlizzCon, and then like the patch PTR also launching with the coinciding of season 8. So it's like, yay, season 8's here, but I'm gonna play the PTR, so I'm gonna just skip like the season completely. At least now this way you've got a couple weeks to play season 8 and not have anything else on your table to compete with it. And other than that, yeah, that's pretty much my expectations for it. I do also think very, very small, minute chance they might do something with D1 or D2, not like an HD remaster or remake, but they might do like a like what they did with Blackthorn and release Diablo 1 like for free for anyone to download and play. Because that game doesn't work off of game keys. It is really hard to just track its installation and such regardless. And then maybe like doing something where they bring Diablo 2 into the Battle.net 2.0 interface, even though it's not Battle.net anymore. It's like the prince of gaming systems. It's the gaming platform formerly known as Battle.net, but we don't have a new name for it yet. So we'll just have to wait and see what it is that they do and they announce. I do think in the like that 20th anniversary panel, we'll see the layout of what they want to do. We've seen like charms and some other items within World of Warcraft that they're going to be adding in, a lot of like Diablo 2 like nostalgic items that you can play the Tristram theme in World of Warcraft with one of the toys that they're releasing. So we'll see some things. I think we'll see some things that they'll do while showing and previewing the Diablo anniversary stuff for like World of Warcraft. We might see some Diablo anniversary stuff for all the games, maybe some new portraits or announcers. Maybe we'll get the Deckard Cain announcer for StarCraft II. Maybe some in-game anniversary stuff for Heroes of the Storm. Maybe a card back for Hearthstone. And maybe some like Diablo-related skins for Overwatch. Don't know, but that's just some of the things that we might go through and see. And yeah, I think that is a lot of what I wanted to go through and talk about for this episode. That is just it's a lot of just sitting and waiting and seeing of what we'll have to go through and have for us in patch 2.5. Will we get a new zone or like an a la the Eternal Woods? Don't know. We just gonna have to wait and find out. But again, I just want to go through and just press upon it again. If you're holding out hope for an expansion or Diablo 4 to be announced at this BlizzCon, despite some of like the big name celebrities that have been coming out and saying, "Hey, look, I'm expecting a huge new game announcement for Diablo." I still have to say that I highly doubt, like I'm like 99% sure that there's not going to be anything with that based on the evidence that I've seen. I have no insider info. I've got no guy working in the games industry that's speculating or telling me that they are, going through announcing. If they were to say, like, "Oh, I've got a friend in the game industry that's speculating they're working on Diablo 4," that's something I could definitely go through. And yeah, there's a lot of evidence that goes and supports that. But then actually announcing it at this year's BlizzCon, not so much. Because they've never announced a game and not have it playable. And it just seems it's way too early in the development cycle, whatever it is that they're working on, for it to be playable at BlizzCon. And so unless it's just like one of those things they're going to go through and come out in the closing ceremony, "Oh, hey, we're working on Diablo 4. Good night, everybody. Good luck." That type of thing, maybe. And also, don't get me wrong, I would love, absolutely love, to be wrong and to have them have some sort of major announcement at BlizzCon. I would love to be wrong. I want to be wrong. Trust me. But just, I have to call them as I see them, and it's not something that I'm expecting. It is what it is. Take it with what you will, and make your own speculation or thoughts, of your own. And we'll see how everything plays out next week. And with that, we will go on to our community section of the week. And so we have a couple of emails to go through and be read here. This first one comes in from Valen. "Hey guys." He's responding to the a couple episodes ago when we announced the winner for the BlizzCon the BlizzCon virtual ticket contest. That oh yeah, it was the Cool Story Bro podcast. You're right. I listened to those guys too. How could I have missed it? Oh well. Was really looking forward to participating in some RNGness. Damn that Riker. Damn him to hell. Well, at least I killed him several times in the rifts because when he went and emailed in his guess, his guess for the podcast we hung out with at last year's BlizzCon was Cool Story Bro, because Riker, he's a streamer and a content producer, but not a podcaster. So that was, you're a half right. You're a half right. That was his guess. So cheers from Croatia, Valen. Thanks very much for going through, writing in. Definitely appreciate it. This next one, we went in, got email here from Longshot. He sent in an item, which I'll go through and show in a little bit. Was cleaning up my season 7 items, and this amulet sucked until I re-rolled it. This was the second enhancement or enchantment that I put on it. First was attack speed, and I have never seen a 100% crit damage on an item, let alone on the secondary enchantment. From -16% damage to -2% damage, I might actually use it because it does also have some other like little buffs and such on there compared to what he was using prior. And again, I'll show that item in a little bit when we get into items of the week. Next email goes and comes in from Mike. Hello. I've submitted a join request to your clan via the in-game system. I'm looking for a new clan as my previous clan leader ghosted on us and we haven't had an officer online in nearly 2 months. I enjoy listening to the podcast, and in most recent episode you mentioned you might have some availability in the upcoming season. I'm not super competitive, but I really enjoy working with other people to get achievements, do power leveling, master set dungeons, pretty much anything other than endlessly grinding for Paragon. Not sure if that fits in what you're looking for. If it does, no hard feelings. Hoping you might have a spot for me. Thanks for all the time you put into the podcast. It's one of the best ones out there, but you knew that already. Thanks, Mike, and I do believe that we have, since he sent in this email, we do have him in the clan now, so definitely thank you for going and sending in that email. We now have another email here from Powa. Sup, fellas. I wrote to you way back in 2014 while Archon was still hosting with Nineball, and as then, sorry for my bad English. And when I notice so many times when people say that in their emails, their English is better than my own, even like down to like the punctuation. Here we go. In the past few weeks, especially after the sooner than expected end of season 7, there has been a lot of opinions on the D3 panel at BlizzCon. I believe that they will announce D4, but will have nothing to show us in terms of art, lore, etc. I do also, however, believe that we will get two patch 2.5 as well. What should they implement in this patch? Well, for starters, more season-like systems that will run parallel to seasons. One that comes to mind is maybe 7 to 14 day long races where no sets can drop, basically anything that will change the meta almost completely gone. This is something I would surely play, and you still could roll out seasons every 3 months, but this will help keep more people playing as most of us are done with the season within the first 10 days after we get our stash tab and cosmetics. Do you like the idea? What type of races do you think would be interesting, and is that doable developer-wise? P.S. I don't think a new expansion will be coming as it's a waste of resources, and there's not much you can do to improve on the current Reaper of Soul experience. With regards, Power. And now this kind of like goes in line that I guess people that are still holding out hope for the Diablo 4 expansion, that they would just will announce that it was being worked on without having anything playable. It would be a definitive break from how Blizzard has operated in a very, very long time. Even the original Diablo 3, when it was announced in 2008, it was playable at the Worldwide Invitational. So they have not announced a game and not have it playable alongside the announcement. That's the only like deal breaker on it. They would be announcing it just to say we're working on it and have nothing else to show. And I think that has its pros and its cons. Obviously there'd be a huge PR push, but then it would also have a very detrimental effect on D3 because it's like we're going to be getting we're maybe only getting one, two patches a year. There's not going to be a patch of every season, and the updates and the content are going to slim down as development on this new unannounced project speeds up. So the resources that Team 3 is devoting between D3 and an unannounced project are going to shift more towards that unannounced project. That means less development time will be put into D3. N not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, it's there's no subscription base or anything like that. It's like the one-time cost, or two if you count the expansion, and then that's it. All these updates that we've gotten since Reaper of Soul have been free. It's a tons and tons of free content that almost any other developer out there would have charged for, and we've gotten for free. So it's still great and nice that they're continuing to support Reaper with free content, even this far down the line. So that would be it. And that's and your in Pow's idea on races is something that we do see a lot because it's something that's done in Path of Exile, which is like the other big ARPG contender that's out there, where they have like these little mini seasons, so it might only be 3 days or 10 days. And what he's like idea, there's set droppings or something like that. I would like to see them build upon that idea at some point in the future, and maybe having a season with special rules, almost kind of like how they do like the tavern brawls in Hero or the brawls in Overwatch. I mean, the tavern brawl is not in Heroes, but in Hearthstone, and where they do now have like that brawl mode in Heroes, and they have brawls in Overwatch, where it's a different game where they completely change up the rule set. I think that might be something cool for Diablo, if they want to do something like that. Who knows? Maybe that will be the new feature that they announce in 2.5. Don't know. And then our final email comes in. This one is from Tortifu, has an item of the week and also a lot of thoughts that he has put into wanting to go through and have us read out here. And since this is going to be somewhat of a shorter show anyways, I figure might as well take the time to go and read through all of it here tonight. So sit back, relax, and let's let Tortifu take us on a literary adventure. And here we are. Sup, fellas, long time listener of the show, but this is the first actual writing in other than submitting items of the week. Last time stood in a particularly perfect non-ancient Dead Man's Legacy quiver, which you featured, and also wondered if Tortifu was a Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's 42 reference, which it was. I am submitting another item for items of the week. At first glance, it doesn't seem that special, but this one effectively changed the way I play Diablo for the last few months, and potentially what decision I make for season 8. Rewind to near the end of season 6, and I spotted the only thing I needed for a full season journey was to level a hardcore character to 70. I had previously only ever had one hardcore character that was power leveled to season 3. I deleted this character and created a new one as a new hardcore crusader, as I hadn't done in a while, and I decided to play through the campaign. Didn't rush it and enjoyed the campaign setting for. Enjoyed the campaign getting to 70 not long after killing Malthael in about 10 hours. Was surprised and continued to play the Crusader in adventure mode for the remaining week of the season, even though it wasn't even geared for Torment 1 and obviously had no Hadrix gifts to boost it. It was during this time that the item dropped and I equipped it at once and was far better than the current one. Season 7 started, and I rolled my normal softcore Demon Hunter and started the rush through the season journey with the normal group of friends for the stash space. This season, though, some friends stopped playing far quicker than normal, and even before they had their stash space, as it was too similar to Season 6. I continued and completed the stash space requirement in about 3 days and 40 hours of gameplay. At this stage, I switched back to non-seasonal play as normal, as even this early in the season was mainly playing solo and not a fan of public games. I actually went back to my hardcore crusader. I started in Torment 1 and progress was very slow, but wearing the Star of Azkarath helped me a lot as it meant Molten, which could potentially be very fatal to me, could be completely ignored. Likewise, Fire Chains, another nasty melee affix, could also be ignored, and then Mortar and even elemental fire damage from Fire Jets didn't matter. If I did encounter Arcane Group, I often had a Fire affix as well, which allowed some healing to offset the damage. Legendary drops were slow in Torment 1, but eventually I had about 5 Ancients, although no weapon or shield, and both Legacy of Nightmare Rings again, neither Ancient. But as I had no set bonuses, I started playing a Legacy of Nightmare's Blessed Shield build, as I had non-Ancient versions of the weapon, shield, and damage-increasing bracers. This easily pushed me up to Torment 4, and every new ancient item let me raise the torment level by 1, but the weapon and shield still eluded me. When I was in Torment 7, I proc'd for the first time, and the adrenaline rush that people had mentioned when that happens is definitely real, and have never felt like that playing softcore. Even after proc'ing, I was still at very low health, so I had to try and run away from all the mobs. I wasn't even sure what had really caused it, as I was doing bounties in Act 2, and at this stage and level, no bosses were really an issue. A few days later, I proc'd again in exactly the same act, and my health had basically dropped to zero instantly. Again, panicking, ran away, but this time realized who had caused the massive damage. As I'm sure you probably worked out by now, being hardcore players yourselves, it was the Act 2 key warding, Sokar. His reflect damage when active was massive, and nothing like any damage I could get from any other boss or greater Rift Guardian at this level. As he had the dampening shield, I couldn't even time the attacks that carefully, as all the blessed shield attacks were being slowed. I had never even cared or considered this in softcore, but now at least I knew and was always very careful when in the Oasis. Despite this, still having proc'd 3 or more times on him. In fact, only ever proc'd once not on him, and that was a group of three elite packs with a lot of Vortex, Waller, and Jailer, and Plague, but no fire affixes to help me heal. Why is the one Key Warden seemingly so lethal? How many hardcore deaths has he caused, I wonder? That was something that I would love to see, like a developer spreadsheet of numbers of like a like an infographic. Who is the most deadly character for hardcore? Who's killed what one mob has killed the most number of hardcore characters? I'd love to see it. It might be Belial, the people playing through the campaign. Just so many people might have died to him. I wouldn't be surprised. Where did I leave off? So fast forward to now and still playing the Hardcore Crusader pretty much exclusively. Slowly increasing in Paragons and closing in on 800. Had hoped to get 800 and clear a Greater Rift 70 before the end of season, but I won't quite make it. 99.9% of the time has been solo, as most of my clan plays softcore seasonally, and even the very few that play hardcore tend to prefer seasons. And again, his hardcore character is non-seasonal. Not found on Oceanic-based hardcore communities. I could try grouping with US-based communities, but that increases my ping from 30 when playing on Oceanic servers to over 200. Plus, having never really grouped on hardcore, not sure what the expected play style is and how it might be different. The only one plus side to this is that the DDoS attacks that have plagued this season have seemingly all been targeted at US servers and have not been affecting me. I've now fully ancient the Legacy of Nightmare Blessed Shield build, and whilst now do have a better Invoker's build, still prefer playing the Blessed Shield. It has cleared low 60s in Greater Rifts, and with Invokers, I've done a 65, so reasonably happy. I now farm in Torment 11 for guaranteed 2 Rift Keys, as the extra time taken to do Torment 13 just didn't seem worth it. Still haven't died, but have a solo level 2 more Hardcore Crusaders in about 10 minutes to test my gear for getting back to 70 if the worst should happen. So for now, for Season 8, I find myself in a dilemma. Do I pick the quick and easy softcore Unhallowed Essence Demon Hunter to get the stash space and then go back to my non-season? or do I roll hardcore? At this stage, leaning to the hardcore route and hope I can stick with it. The downside is that it will be solo a lot, although there is a hardcore player in the clan that is offered to help out when they are on. Trying to convince one of my normal leveling group to also roll hardcore, but not sure if they will. I am amazed at this turnaround in my Diablo gameplay. A few seasons ago, I would never have played hardcore and was adamant that I never would. But now I find softcore boring. Maybe if I was to die due to a disconnect, my opinion would change, but I know I have good backup gear and gems ready and waiting. The one thing I found is stash space is more important as I try to keep at least one piece of backup gear for all three of the builds I have now, plus plenty of spare legendary gems. I'm also far less ruthless at sharding good ancients just in case I could have use for them in the future. I managed to fill all 9 tabs for just my Crusader. So when I hopefully finish Season 8, the Hardcore Demon Hunter, there will be some serious stash sorting to do. I'll get back to you once the season starts and let you know what I did. One last question for potential discussion. Once Season 8 is over and a lot of players will mean finally getting their last stash space, do you think Blizzard will gate some other quality of light feature or quality of life feature behind seasons? If not, might be interesting to see how many people play Season 9. And finally, congratulations on passing 100 shows, and I look forward to the 200th special. And I think that is a pretty good question. Will Blizzard do anything after or going into Season 9 when this is the last season people will have to play to get and unlock all the stash tabs? Maybe. I don't know. That could be. But honestly, at this point in the game, I don't really see them really adding any other quality of life change behind seasons. It's just going to be there for things that if you're new to the game, you play seasons to unlock your stash tabs. If you already have your stash tabs unlocked, if you don't like the aspect of playing seasons of starting over, then you just won't play seasons. You'll go and continue to play your non-seasonal character, maybe just get the first couple chapters done for the cosmetic items. That's about it. Now we have his update here. A quick update. I have cleared a Greater Rift 70 in about 11 minutes 39 seconds just now, and I'm Paragon 793, so should actually be able to complete my goals by the end of the season. I had a bit of a push and went from 65 to 70 in successive Greater Rifts. 70 was definitely scary, and I was behind the clock for a long time. Only on the third level did I manage to pull it back when a shield pylon and a conduit pylon helped me get back on track. I think I'll stop pushing for now and concentrate on augmenting my gear, as currently only one piece has a level 50 augment in it. Also, one extra thing that happened in my hardcore journey that would never have worried me in softcore: had Diablo crash to desktop, switching to phase two of a Diablo fight. First time ever I actually had the game crash. Heart was pounding as I tried to restart as quickly as possible, but wasn't expecting to have survived. Not sure if Blizzard can actually detect a crash over a disconnect, but I somehow was still alive and exceptionally relieved. Glad that you survived your first crash slash disconnect. That doesn't happen all that much, so be prepared if there's a second one to maybe not be as lucky. Update number two. Thanks for mentioning my email last week as you delayed it until the next episode. Here's a seasonal update. I ended up meeting my Paragon goal of 800 by the season end, reaching 802. During the season break, I rolled a hardcore Demon Hunter as potential practice for Season 8. Having a few 1,000 Death's Breaths, I was able to nearly fully gear it in a Unhallowed Essence set by upgrading yellows in the cube as soon as I hit 70. I say nearly as despite rolling over 100 chests and using nearly 3,000 Death's Breaths, I never got the chest set piece. Damn. At least I had a Ring of Royal Grandeur, so I could get the set bonus. Played the Demon Hunter a lot and fairly quickly improved my initial gear and got the previously unattainable chest. I had cleared a Greater Rift 62 solo, farming Tournament 11 was actually had my first death, which was always going to be a testing moment. Looking back, I had gotten a little overconfident as Tournament 11 seemed to be so trivial. had replaced Unity with Convention of Elements, had replaced all resist gems with dexterity gems, removed my DPS legendary gem, had removed DPS legendary gem, Boon of the Hoarder, and swapped my belt to gold wrap. Was going so well with this setup farming, I actually thought I might roll a monk for season 8, as Demon Hunter was already geared and sorted. The thought occurred just 5 minutes before death. I was doing a set of Torment 11 bounties, didn't even pause when the Act 5 boss was Malthiel. Going into stage 2 was 100% health and had positioned myself right next to the healing pool. Next thing I see is the death screen. My ignore death passive never seemed to fire, as no cooldown icon was on the screen. Is there a situation when this can happen? Shocked, I logged out and pondered my next move. 10 minutes later, logged back in and solo leveled another hardcore demon hunter and equipped my backup gear. Reason that this was the point of playing hardcore. If I can't accept a death, especially one that I could have prevented, if I stopped for a second and changed my gear and gems before the boss fight. But now, always, hopefully, will stop and think. The only thing that I know of in the game that's a bug that will actually cause like your cheat death to not proc is if you're using the Mortuum gem that spreads the damage out over time, because that damage will be dealt to you even through immunities, like the smoke screen on the Demon Hunter. That's the only thing that I know of that can actually kill you through your ignore death passive, unless there's some other just unknown death or bug that's out there. And people in chat, while I'm going through and reading the rest of this email, feel free to chime in if you guys know of any bugs, particularly one within the Malthiel fight. But as of then, I'm just going to go through and continue. So season 8 started and stuck with the decision of going hardcore, rolled a monk, which I hadn't played since season 4, as my first time leveling a hardcore started at normal and actually started a group of two other clan mates. Was watching Leviathan's Twitch stream and we slowly made progress. At an appropriate stage, we did the campaign to get Leoric's crown. At about level 35, one of the people in the group had to go. Shortly after that, the second had to go. Nineveh actually started streaming, so as Leviathan had stopped, started watching that. Had a few contributions in chat, and Nineveh even gave me some hints on what to do. Have to admit, didn't follow them, as the monk who had been in the group earlier was online, so we regrouped and did our own thing. Fast forwarded until today, and the monk is still going strong, approaching Paragon 400. Best Greater Rift Clear is just 42, which is fitting with Tortifoo. Farming in Torment 8, but as of yet have not killed Malthiel on Torment 7, so still on the Slayer stage of the journey. I want to make 100 absolutely no chance of dying, or I want to make a 100% of having absolute no chance of dying to Malthiel after my previous death experience. Monk doesn't seem as powerful as my normal non-seasonal demon hunter, as pretty sure if I had the equivalent unhallowed essence gear, I'd be pushing 55s. Started with Heydrich's Illaana's set, but have recently switched to Inna's. The excellent side to the season has been the clan support. It seems I'm not the only one who has switched to hardcore for the first time, and had a few regulars returning that we have about 6 to 8 playing and more leveling up every day. I'm even convinced one of my normal leveling group to roll hardcore. He initially rolled softcore, but persuaded him to change. Have played solo about 50% of the time, as I often play during the night when fewer are on, but in the evening have been 2 to 3 to even 4 man groups. Have also helped other players level and gear up by an insane witch doctor, which has cleared 60s in under 2 days. Having a nice friendly competition for top clan monk with the guy I leveled with. He is a shout out to the seven. It's the name of the clan is 7S, but they call themselves the Seven Sinners, Oceanic Clan. Worst moment so far has been playing as Tyre when I have been playing very Tyler, very tired. I can get this out as a normal part of extended play sessions at the start of the season. I actually closed my eyes for a few seconds and woke up to see the death passive had procced, but also the Lion's Claw fist weapon had dropped. Now I stop playing when I feel tired. I don't know if you see the tail wagging back and forth, but I have some little kitty aggro in my lap right now. Adding Mr. Kitty here is trying to be as much of a distraction as he possibly can. I had my first negative experience when a person who I had friended me as I grouped with him earlier when he was playing with other clan members did something I would never have done. Had seen him recently clear 50, and he asked a group saying he needed any on his belt. As I had one in a backup, so I would happily drop it if it's non-ancient. Said was still unsure of toughness levels, so suggested starting at 40, as that was my highest clear at the time. What he failed to mention was he had recently died, and although I saw no such notice, and as gear was missing, the belt wasn't going to actively group, but sit at the entrance and do nothing. So suddenly monsters had 100% more health, and I was taking a lot more damage, and no longer had my unity passive for my follower. I only noticed this when I was on floor 2, and he was still on the previous level. I actually managed to clear the rift solo, but from now on, will only group of clanmates and people I'm 100% sure are not a dick. And that does really suck. Mr. Kitty, come on now. And it's one of those things, it's okay, if you're gonna go through and get a power level, but yeah, you should definitely make that known ahead of time. Hey, dude, I just died. Can I hop in on your next greater rift? Or I would say it'd be better if I hop in on your next regular rift, just to get some, levels or some gear. Is that okay? That type of thing. So seasonal goals for season 8, Paragon level 800, complete the journey, and I guess due to the season conquest is 75 clear. Hoping the sudden influx of hardcore players continues long enough for me to do 4-man 70 pluses with the clan. PS, found Juno Reactor on Spotify and have been listening to some of the items. That comes from when I was leveling up for the season opener. I had Juno Reactor playing in the background. Same when I did my stream last Wednesday and even last night. I listened to Juno Reactor. They're one of my favorite groups. Hey, gosh darn it, Mr. Kitty, come on. Come on, come on. My roommate isn't home, so I'm the only person here. And because I'm talking, that means I'm paying attention to somebody else and not him. And he cannot stand that at all. Say hello, Mr. Kitty. Yes, rub the microphone. There you go. Say hi. Say hi to everybody. Yes. Okay. Now you have to go. And there we go. Okay. Bye-bye now. No. 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 So there you go. There's Mr. Kitty. Yes, and so that is it for our emails and our community feedback. That one was definitely a bit of a longer email. We had missed a couple weeks of emails, but thank you definitely, Tortifu, for that update and those experience. And we love going through and getting people's stories and your feelings, because one of the big aspects of this show is the community. And so we like to hear your thoughts or your journeys through the different seasons, why you still go and play Diablo. And the things that stand out to you, like your first hardcore experiences and things of that nature. So by all means, if you have thoughts or ideas that you'd like to share, send us an email, westmarksworkshop@blizzpro.com, to go through and share your thoughts with us. We'd love to hear from you. But before we go through and finish, we do have some items of the week to go through and show off. As I hinted about earlier, this is a first item is sent in from Longshot. This is the amulet that he went through and sent in. It is one of the first times that he's seen like the critical hit damage increase, especially on just the second reroll from the Enchantress, which is amazing. And this Halicon's Ascent rolled with 877 intellect, rerolled for plus 100% critical hit damage, regenerates 8400 life per second. The secondary affixes of 210 poison resistance, the legendary property of when you use Big Bad Voodoo, you mesmerize nearby enemies with your skill and cause them to jump uncontrollably for 6 seconds, and it rolled a socket. So you can see it is a little is around 2% damage decrease, a little bit of a toughness increase, and a little bit of a recovery increase. Next, we have another item here. Came in from Lala. This one, of course, we had to go through and have an ancient furnace. It's her first ancient furnace of the season that she got with her witch doctor, and this bad boy rolled 4,205 DPS. It was re-rolled for 9% damage, as 1,451 intellect, 1,453 vitality. The secondary affix of reduces level requirement of by 31 levels, a legendary property of increases damage against elites by 46%, and a Ra Mladni's Forest Socket. Next, Tortifoos. This is his item that he sent in that helped change the way that he played and helped get him started with that first hardcore crusader that he leveled. This is the Star of Azkaranth. It was re-rolled for holy skill damage. Holy skills do 20% more damage. 946 strength reduces the cooldown of all skills by 8%. The secondary bonus of 10,000 life after each kill, and the legendary property of prevents all fire damage and instead heals yourself for 12% of the damage prevented, and a socket with a level 60 Bane of the Stricken. And our final item, this one comes in from Le Replay, sent in on Twitter. This is an ancient wand of woe that he's gone through and has re-rolled and is extremely high in all stats across the board. This bad boy clocks in at 3,063 DPS, where he's re-rolled the base damage on it to try and get it as high as he possibly can. And it came with 9% bonus damage, 940 intellect, reduces the cooldown of all skills by 10%. And increases explosive blast damage by 88%, secondary property of 10,000 life after each kill, and the legendary property of three additional explosive blasts are triggered after casting explosive blast, as well as a Ronald McDonald's there for a socket. And with that, that's going to bring us to the end of our community section, as well as the end of the show here. And for this week, since our next episode isn't going to be until after BlizzCon, even though we might be doing some impromptu streaming or videos while at BlizzCon, I would love to hear your thoughts and ideas and speculation on what you think is going to be announced at BlizzCon. So go ahead, send us your thoughts, your ideas, email us in, shoot us over at Twitter. It's westmarksworkshop@blizzpro.com for the email, at the WM Workshop on Twitter. Let us know what your thoughts and theories are, what you're going to see at BlizzCon. And no cheating. If you submit your email, you know, on November 4th or later, yeah, doesn't count because they'll have announced it already. I'm sorry. Just no cheating. No cheating. And also, you know, if there's any Blizzard developers here that email us ahead of time with their expectations of what's going to be at BlizzCon, that would be cheating, but would also appreciate a heads up. Throwing it out there. You can do it. Won't stop you. Just saying. Just saying. But yes. Moving on from there, again, if you ever want to send in your items of the week or comments or thoughts on Diablo or on the show, feel free to shoot us an email. That email again is westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. Our Twitter account is the WM Workshop if you want to go through and follow us. We also do our live stream here on Twitch. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/blizzpro. We stream at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Easterns every other Wednesday night. You can also go through and find a lot of the things that we talk about on the show on our main website, diablo.blizzpro.com, if you want to go check out all of the news and articles that we have to go through and share over there, as well as just check out the entire BlizzPro community itself at blizzpro.com, because we do a lot of other content, especially here on our Twitch channel. You can go through and find our other shows, the Well Met podcast. Sunday nights covering Hearthstone, Tuesday nights is the Heroes Power Hour covering Heroes of the Storm, and Thursday nights is the Payload, our Overwatch podcast. We also are a Twitch partner, so you can follow or subscribe if you'd like to support all of the shows and the BlizzPro network in general. You can even find us in game. We're the BlizzPro clan. We do have some openings, so feel free to go through and submit an application in. through the in-game menu, or but we always love hearing from you. If you want to shoot us an email, let you know what it is, you know that you who you are, what it is that you like to try and get out of the game. We'd love to hear from you. And if it's ever a point where the clan is full, we do give preference to those people that take the little bit extra effort to go and send an email. If you don't want to leave your current clan, we do have the Westmarch Workshop community where you can still go through and chat with us. It hasn't been as popular with this season, but we'll probably be trying to do some stuff at BlizzCon and such with our voice chat service, discord.gg/blizzpro. If you want to go through, hang out and chat with us. Also, you can go and follow us individually. At Twitter, I'm at NineBallGamer, and my personal Twitch account, which I am starting to stream a little bit more, is twitch.tv/NineBall. And you can also follow Leviathan with his Twitter handle at LeviathanD3 and his Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Leviathan111. And with that, it brings us out to the close. I do want to give a shout out. We will be having a meetup at BlizzCon. So if you are going to be at BlizzCon, come stop by Friday night at 6 p.m. just after the Diablo panel. We'll be outside of the convention center, in between the in between, I believe it's Hall B and C, there is a little pathway. We'll be going through and doing a little meetup in that little cubby hole over there. So you can come in, hang out. It doesn't require an actual pass to get in there. So if you're maybe in the area, and of course we're going to be doing stuff all throughout BlizzCon at the Hilton, at the anniversary party. If you're going to be there, just come through, come hang out, chat. We love going through and seeing us. Hit us up on Twitter, shoot us an email. We'll go through and try and see if we can maybe meet up, maybe at the Lightning Talks, one of the other developer talks, or the demo stations, or anything. We, as I said earlier, community is a big part of our show. It's what keeps us going, and so we would love to go hang out and chat with you guys. And with that, good night, good luck, and we look forward to what BlizzCon will hold in store for us all in the Diablo community.